In a few moments, you'll experience the live stream from LifePoint Church. I'm so glad that you're here to join us for that experience. At our church, our mission is to influence people to find and follow Jesus. We want to see people find Jesus, in other words, believe in him for their salvation. And then after that, we want to see those believers follow Christ in a life of wholehearted devotion. All of our energy and effort is put into serving you, helping you experience that. So maybe you're joining us from another part of the world or another state in the United States. We're glad that you're here. My encouragement to you would be wherever you are in the world, find a local body of believers to get involved with. Don't let this be your church alone. And then for those of you that are in our local area or maybe even part of our church family, perhaps some of you are on vacation or some of you have kids that are sick or for whatever reason you decided to stay in this weekend. And I would just invite you to consider not using our live stream as a substitute for the church experience. Make sure you're involved in community. We have the wonder of technology to take advantage of experiencing a service through computer and in our own homes, but that's not the church. I would invite you to come and be part of community. You can do that especially through small groups here at our church. I would invite you to get connected with people, share life together, be part of what God is doing in each other's lives. It's a very powerful thing. And then, of course, as you're watching via live stream, I would invite you to participate in the act of worship through giving. I would encourage you to go on to our website, lifepointchurch.us. There you can find a tab to click, and you can be a part of this experience through the giving of your gifts. My deepest prayer is that God would use the experience of this service to change you, to draw you closer to himself. I hope you enjoy this time together.
You saw the game. You looked on with awe and wonder. Then you came back for more, again and again. You went from spectator to a fan, a student of the game. The bleachers are your comfort zone. You don't get hit. You don't get dirty. The wins are short-lived and the losses don't hurt as bad, but now you want more. You see the need for more players. You know the risk, but not the reward. Not yet. It's time to move from spectator to player. It's time to get your hands dirty. It's time to move in formation with your team. It's time to hit the end zone. It's time to play, win or lose. It's time to take a hit and stand back up. It's time to get out of the bleachers.
Good morning, everybody. How you doing? Awesome. That's pretty enthusiastic for a rainy November Sunday. So for those of you that don't know me, my name is Mike Hipsley. I am the pastor of teaching and discipleship here at LifePoint. I'm so glad that you're here. We are wrapping up week four of our series, Out of the Bleachers. For those of you joining us in the video cafe or streaming online, we're so glad that you're joining us today. And what we've been doing over the last 4 weeks, with this week included, we are looking at what it means to get out of the bleachers and into the game. And for that's an athletic analogy, obviously. So what's that look like for church? What that means is we believe that every person that is at church has a role to play beyond just sitting in the seats taking in the Sunday service. Every single person should be getting out of those seats and finding ways to engage with their church community, with the community at large, to serve others. That God has a role for all of us to play. And even if you're here today just kind of trying to figure out who Jesus is and you're not quite sure, there's a role for you to play too. You know, Jesus' disciples, they followed him for a few years before they believed in him. So you can belong before you believe at church. That's the incredible thing. We believe that God has a role and a place on the field for everyone to influence others to find and follow Jesus. You know, God gives us talents. He gives us gifts that we can use to serve others, that build us up and build others up as well. God gives us the opportunity to grow by calling us to get outside of our comfort zone, to get our hands dirty, to try new things. And here's the thing. At LifePoint, there's so many people here that serve week in and week out. They get their hands dirty. They're using their gifts and their talents. And if you're serving here on a regular basis or even on an unregular basis, but you're serving, thank you. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for getting out of the bleachers and into the game. And for those of you that haven't made that decision yet, we'd love for you to do it. There's a role for everybody. There's something for you to do here. There are so many ways to get on the field, to get out of the bleachers and get into the game. And here's a few for us to consider.
Thank you.
Okay, so maybe not the best examples. But the whole point of that is to kind of focus in on a reality that we can get out of the bleachers and onto the field in ways that aren't contributing at all. In fact, they can be a positive hindrance. And that's not something that anyone wants to do. If we're going to take the time and the effort to get out of our seats and get into the game to start serving, we want to do it well. We want to be on the field and look like we belong. There's nothing more like embarrassing than being out on the field and looking like you don't belong there. That happened to me my junior year of high school. I ran track, and for the most part, I was a thrower. I threw shot and disc, but occasionally I would run. And the beginning of the season, I was running, and then through the middle of the season, the coach wasn't really putting me in because I was slow. And so that's why I threw. But anyway, so we went to this meet towards the end of the season. I hadn't really been running, so I only brought my throwing shoes. I didn't bring my spikes. And so when you guess, we get to this away meet, and the coach says, hey, you're running the 4x4 relay because the guy that normally runs it is not here. And I was like, oh, okay. So the only shoes I had other than my throwing shoes, which you cannot run in because they're just flat and smooth, were a dark green pair of Chuck Taylors. Our uniform was gold and navy blue. And so I walk out onto the track in high top, dark green Chuck Taylors, ready to run a 4x4 relay. Slowest 400 I ever ran. And for those of you that grew up in the generation where like Chucks were the athletic shoe, I'm surprised you can still walk. Because whoever decided that was an athletic shoe had never run in them. Because it was the most painful 400 I had ever run. But I was actually laughing a little bit before the race because I knew how out of place I looked. I didn't look like I was game ready. I didn't look like I was ready to be out on the field. And that's what we want to do. We want to look like we belong. We want to be ready to play and to make our best contribution. And that's what I want to talk about today in our service. I want to ask a question. Are there things that we can do that will help us get ourselves game ready? Are there things that we can do to get ourselves game ready so that when we get out on the field, when we start serving and when we're engaged in ministry with other people, we're doing it well? Because here's the thing, if we're going to play, we want to play well. Herm Edwards was the coach of the New York Jets in the early 2000s, and it was an infamous press conference where one of the reporters was like, well, you know, is it such a big deal that you guys lost? You know, what are the things you can take away? And Edwards just lost it. And he just went off, and it's a famous quote. He said, you play to win the game. Any coach or athlete knows that. You play to win the game. That's why you're out there. If you're going to play, you want to win. And I think what might surprise a lot of people is that the Bible expresses this exact idea when it comes to living the Christian life, to following Jesus, that you play to win. And so if you have a Bible, turn to the book of 1 Corinthians. It's a letter by the Apostle Paul, who's the person most responsible for why we're all here today. He spread Christianity throughout the Western world. If you don't have a Bible, you can go to the welcome desk. We'd love to give you one for you to read and for you to use. It's yours to keep. So we're going to be looking at 1 Corinthians. We're going to be in chapter 9, and we're just going to look at one verse. This is verse 24. Paul says this. He says, do you know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? So run in such a way as to get the prize. We play to win the game. Now, one of the things that we probably need to clarify here with this passage is what does it mean to win the prize? Like, what's this prize that Paul's talking about? Because a lot of people approach this passage or this scripture, this verse, and they say, well, the prize clearly means heaven. Well, I don't think that's what Paul is talking about at all. Because here's the thing, Paul's writing to a church. He's writing to believers, people that have already put their faith in Jesus and are already going to heaven. So if the prize that Paul is talking about in following Jesus isn't heaven, what is it? What's he talking about? We could go really deep with this, and in fact, we're going to in January. Coming out of Christmas, we're going to do a series called Running to Win. It's almost like we planned it. And we're going to look deeper at this concept. But just for today's purposes, what the prize is really simple. The prize of following Jesus, of living the Christian life, is living a life that matters both for time and eternity. So that the things that we spend our time and the things that we live our lives for matter both in this life and in the life to come. And I think that connects deeply with what Jesus said is the greatest commandment, that we spend and direct our lives towards loving the Lord our God with all our heart, all our mind, all our soul, and all our strength, and to loving our neighbor as ourselves. If we direct our lives in that way, we will get to the end of the race and we will win the prize because we will have run well. And we will hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." That is the prize of running the Christian life. It's not heaven. It's about getting to heaven and going, "I did it. I ran well. I lived a life that matters." But you know, this verse, what Paul is saying, run in such a way as to win the prize, is also kind of a warning. Because what it means is that we can run in such a way that we don't win the prize. You can follow, you can be a believer in Jesus and be going to heaven and still waste your life. And Jesus talks about this in one of his parables. It's called the parable of the talents, where there's three servants that a king gives a certain amount of money to, and the two of the servants invest it and they get a return. They take what's given to them and they invest it well. And one of the servants doesn't. He takes what was given and just buries it and he makes no use of it. And so there's no return at all. And that servant is chastised and treated very harshly. And what that's really all about is not about whether or not we go to heaven. It's about what we've done with what God's given us. And did we get out of the bleachers into the game and use what God's given us to benefit others and to love God and to love others? So how do we win the prize? How do we get to the prize? What do we do? Are there ways that we can position ourselves so that we play well, that we're game ready? Because I think there are ways that we can be game ready. And one of the things, and we're going to look at some kind of sports analogies, but how does an athlete get ready to be in the game, and to kind of apply those to Christianity. So one of the things that we can do is we can train. Training is an essential part of being game ready. And whenever I think of training, I think of the Rocky movies. And we all know that Rocky III is by far the best movie. It's the one with Mr. T. And there's a scene, every Rocky movie contains these training montages where you see people exercising to music. And there's one where Rocky's getting ready to fight Mr. T and they're both training. And Rocky's kind of, you know, lost his edge and he's not taking his training seriously and there's all kinds of cameras and music and lights. And he's not really trying all that hard. He's not training well. And then it flips over to Mr. T and he's like, he's sweating constantly. He's grunting and he looks constipated all the time. And you can just tell that he's training and training and training. And when they get in the ring, Rocky gets his butt kicked. Because he didn't train. He wasn't ready. Wasn't ready to be in the ring with the other guy. And I think how we can carry this over is there's a principle here. That no matter what gifts or talents we have or we're given, if we're not using them, if we're not investing in them, if we're not developing them, they don't do us or anyone else ever any good whatsoever. And you know, in sports, in academics, in art, in our job, we know this. Like, we know in order to be ready for the field, you've got to train. Any athlete knows that. Any artist knows that if they want to perform well, they've got to hone their craft. They've got to practice. They've got to develop. All of us that have jobs, we've been trained. We've done training. We've gotten ready for those vocations. School is constant training. It's constantly getting better and ready for the next step. We know that training is part of developing our gifts and talents. And it's incredibly important to being game ready. Why would we think it's any different when it comes to serving others and living the Christian life and following Jesus? And if we keep reading in 1 Corinthians, right where we were, go to the next verse, 1 Corinthians 9:25, we see that this principle is in play. Paul says in verse 25, "Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever." So this crown that Paul's talking about, that's the prize. That's the same thing we were talking about in verse 25, because the prize that was given to a runner in the ancient world was a crown. It was a symbol of their victory. So again, that carries over. The crown here is having lived a life that matters, living a life that exemplifies loving God and loving others. But what Paul also tells us is that in order to do that, it requires training. You go into strict training. Following Jesus, living a life that matters, doesn't happen by accident. And we even see this in Jesus' life. Before Jesus began his ministry, what did he do? He went out into the desert for 40 days to fast and to pray, and then he was tempted. He went through trials to get himself ready for his ministry. Well, if Jesus had to train to be ready to get out on the field, what would make us think that we don't? But why? Why do we need to train? Because training is uncomfortable. It costs us time. It costs us energy. It hurts. Like, why would we want to do that? Because of the effect of training. See, what training does is training allows us to do little things that we can do now that over time will build to let us do bigger things that we can't do now but can do later. By pushing ourselves, by struggling against things, we can increase our ability and our capacity. For instance, if I wanted to run a marathon, I'm not ready to do that. I couldn't just go right out and run 26.2 miles right now. But I could run one. And then maybe the next day I could run a mile and a half. And over time, I could slowly, by pushing myself just a little bit more each time, I could slowly build up the capacity where I could run 26.2 miles. I'm not going to. It's way too far. But I could. And that's how training works. Doing little things now that will allow us to do big things later. And I think that principle applies when it comes to following Jesus and living the Christian life well. Like, the first thing that happened in my journey with Christ was I had to find out who he was. And so that was the first challenge, was figuring out who Jesus was. And after I put my faith in Jesus, I had to learn, okay, how do I live with him? How do I live in a new way now that I've become a new creation? And I had to learn how to read the Bible, and I had to learn how to pray. And I got into small groups, and there were people that were investing in me. And they talked about these things called gifts. And I identified that, hey, I have a teaching gift. And slowly I got these little opportunities to teach here or there, and I built that up. And I kept learning and I'm still learning today. I try to get better every single time. Every single time I preach, there's someone that evaluates me and gives me feedback. I'm constantly training. So where are you in that process now? Where are you in that training process? What are you learning? What are you developing? Where are you out in the field, in the game? How are you serving and how can you get better? I think that's a question we constantly have to ask ourselves. And the Bible talks about these things that God gives us that help us train. They're called spiritual disciplines. They're things that little things we can do now that get us better later. Things like Bible study, joining a small group where we're being encouraged by others, or serving, getting out there and using gifts and making our lives about, making our time at church or in the community about other people. There's all kinds of opportunities, short-term mission trips that puts us outside of our comfort zone in other cultures. Spiritual disciplines are given to us so that we can train, so that we can be more ready to be in the game. So training is essential to being game ready, because we don't live the life well by accident. We're not going to naturally move towards the great commandment of loving God and loving others. It's not our default. We have to train for that. But there's something else that athletes do to keep themselves game ready. Other than training, they also have to stay healthy. Staying healthy is essential to being game ready. Now, in athletics, training helps get us ready to be on the field. Staying healthy keeps us there. There's nothing worse than putting in the time, the sweat, the energy, the effort to train, and then having it derailed by an injury because you can't stay healthy. In 2016, I trained for 4 months to run a half marathon. I was getting up at 4 a.m. to run long distance runs. Almost every week. 3 days before the race, I got bronchitis. I was so mad. I trained so long for that, and then I couldn't run because I got derailed. I didn't stay healthy. You know, in church, we talk a lot about training. Like, training is usually not missing in the church world. But the idea of staying healthy often gets ignored. And, you know, some of us here at LifePoint, we need to think about, hey, how do I get out of the bleachers into the game, and where do I start serving? But here's another thing that's probably going on. Some of us might be serving too much. Might be doing too much. You know, you can overtrain. And in the church world, you can overserve. There is such a thing as doing too much for Jesus. I experienced this in 2015. Completely burned out. I was going and going and going and constantly ramping up to do more. And I just hit a wall where I couldn't do anything more. Like, I just ran out of energy. It was awful. Like, you can do that. It happens. There are things that can happen. I remember I was talking with a guy that was in one of my Bible studies, and he was new to the faith, and he had joined 3 different small groups, and he was serving in 4 different areas. And I was like, dude, you got to slow down. Like, that's too much. You're going to burn out. You can't sustain that. He had something every single night of the week involving church. And I was like, dude, get a life. And that's coming from a pastor. It's like, you go do something else. You know, and I think you see this principle in Jesus' ministry, this idea of staying healthy. If we turn to the Gospel of Luke and look at Luke chapter 5, as Jesus' ministry was ramping up, we see something that becomes part of what Jesus did. Luke 5, 15 and 16 say this, "Yet the news about him spread all the more, so the crowds of people came to him to be healed of their sickness. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed." Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. And what's fascinating to me is that as the need was increasing, as the crowds were pressing on Jesus, as his ministry was becoming more and more famous and popular, as more and more people were seeking him out, Jesus made time to withdraw to lonely places to pray. He didn't let the pressures dictate what he was doing. He maintained his spiritual health. Because for Jesus, his relationship with his Father was a non-negotiable. His spiritual health was a non-negotiable because Jesus knew something. If he wasn't connecting with the Father, if he wasn't keeping himself spiritually healthy, over time, his ability to respond to all the need would diminish. See, it can look good at first. We can do all these things and engage in all this activity, but if we don't keep ourselves healthy, if we don't keep our fingers on the pulse of our spiritual health, we can eventually run out of energy and burn out. So if Jesus needed to stay healthy, we need to stay healthy. So here's a question. How are we prioritizing our spiritual health? What are we doing to stay healthy? What are things we can do to stay healthy? You know, just like God gives us spiritual disciplines that can help us train, things that we can do to get us ready to be on the field, God also gives us spiritual disciplines that will keep us healthy, keep us spiritually healthy. Things like solitude and silence, getting away, withdrawing from it all. Sabbath, taking one day a week where we just take our hands off our life and say, God, you get to meet the needs of the world for today. I'm going to take my hands off it and trust that you're good and that you've got it covered. And we just rest and replenish. Prayer, fun, having fun with people. Like, we need these things. I need these things. You need these things. So which of these are you doing? Like, I'm exploring Sabbath right now. Are you spending any time in your week in silence or in solitude or resting and just connecting with the Father so that when it comes time to get back on the field, you're ready to go? So training helps us be game ready, helps us be ready and learn how to love God and to love others well. And staying healthy helps us to stay on the field so that we can maintain that, so that we can continually try and bring our best to others, to love them well, to love God well. And I think there's one more important thing that I want to close with. And it's really intangible, but I think it's the most important of them all. That as we're training and as we're working to stay healthy, we need to be prioritizing attitude over ability. This is essential. We've all seen or know of or heard of athletes or stars, actors, people that are excellent at their craft, but they make it all about them. It's all about their personal stats. It's all about whether or not they're getting the ball. It's all about their spotlight. And it's really annoying. Like, we don't respect those people. We might respect their talent, but we don't respect them. And probably most of us have had classmates or coworkers or teammates that are like that. You know, the coworker that you know they'll stab you in the back as soon as look at you. Or, you know, the teammate that's all about them. I had a buddy that went to med school and he said, you know, you never left your workout, you never left a project out because it was such a cutthroat environment where the other students would sabotage you. Because it was all about them. See, no matter how much prayer we're getting, no matter how much solitude, how many Bible studies we're part of, how much training we're doing, how much we're doing to work on our health, we can still make following Jesus about us if we're not careful. It can look good on the outside, but it can be really bad in here. And the example that the Bible gives us is the Pharisees. The Pharisees were the most religious people of Jesus' day. They did all the outward things. They gave their money to church, and they memorized scripture, and they knew scripture back and forth, and they knew all the rules, and they practiced Sabbath, and they practiced silence, and they practiced solitude. They did all the disciplines, all the things we talked about. And what did Jesus say about them? You're whitewashed tombs. You look good on the outside, but inside there's death and decay. Because they missed the most important part, that attitude is more important than ability. And so what does that mean? Like, we know what it means out on the athletic field. What does it look like in ministry? What does that temptation to make it about me look like? You know, my gift is teaching. And so I always want to teach. And I'm part of the men's Bible study, and the teaching team for the men's Bible study on Tuesdays. And the temptation for me is to want to teach all the lessons, because no matter what we're teaching, I want to talk about it. But here's the thing I know, is that there are other teachers that need their gifts developed, that need that platform, the same way that other people gave me smaller platforms as I was developing. And so what I do is I try and make sure that I am only teaching once or twice in any given session, so that others can develop, because it's not about me. God didn't give me the gift that I have for me and for my spotlight. That's not what it's about. And so that's a crucial question I think we need to ask is, how are my talents and gifts serving others? How are they directing the spotlight away from me and on to others? You know, Paul addresses this very thing later on in 1 Corinthians. You know, Joe last week talked about spiritual gifts, and one of the key chapters on spiritual gifts is 1 Corinthians 12. It talks all about spiritual gifts. But Paul realized that with spiritual gifts, there's a danger. That with the gift that God gives us, there's a danger because we can make it about us. And so he ends chapter 12 and verse 31 with these words, "Now I will show you a more excellent way." And he pulls back the covers and he shows us what serving is all about. 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 3, we're not going to read all the passage, we're going to read a little bit of it, says this, "If I speak in the tongues of men and angels but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have a faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all that I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast but do not have love, I gain nothing." What Paul is saying is we can have all these gifts and talents and we can work and we can do all these spiritual things, but if the core of what I'm doing isn't about loving God and loving others, if that's not my heartbeat, if I'm not prioritizing attitude over ability, it doesn't benefit me. It doesn't benefit anyone, because you're going to get to the end of your race and you're not going to have done it well. Because you've done all the outward things, but inside you missed the most important thing, which is love, the most excellent way to do things out of love. See, the gifts that God gives us, the talents that he gives us, they're meant to be experienced and expressed in love for the good of others, to glorify God and to bring his love to other people. And Jesus set this example with his life. You know, 2 weeks ago, John McCants talked about what Jesus did in John 13, where he took off his outer garment and he took the position of the lowliest servant and he washed the dirt and the grime and the feces off of the feet of his disciples. He took this low role. The most gifted human being that has ever lived took the position of a servant out of love for his friends. And here's the thing, there's nothing better than that. There is nothing better, there's nothing that brings me greater joy than when I use my gifts and it brings other people to life, where they see God more clearly or where they connect with the Father in ways that they never have. That is where life is found. That's the secret. Attitude over ability. Our abilities are meant to be expressed in love for others. And I think the discipline that gets us there or that keeps us focused on that is to get out of our own way and to get our hands dirty. Sometimes it means serving outside of our giftedness and just doing things that need to get done for the good of others, maybe so that others can have a break. So there's three things that I think we need to do to stay game ready. One is training, which teaches us how to serve and gets us serving well. The other is staying healthy, which keeps us serving well and keeps us bringing our best to others by keeping an eye on our spiritual health. And then above all, kind of surrounding all of that is prioritizing attitude over ability, so that we're serving for the right reasons, so that our heartbeat really is focused on loving God and loving others. That's what getting out of the bleachers and into the game is all about. And so every week as we've done this, we've invited everyone, encouraged everyone to kind of find a way to get out of their seats and to serve here at LifePoint. And this week's no different. This week is a little different in one way, though, in that it's a single opportunity. I want to challenge all of us to serve in some way, shape, or form during the Christmas services. And the website's right there. You can just go to the website, look at the opportunities. If you want a more direct route, you can go to the welcome desk and find out what the opportunities are. Or if you want to serve in children's, talk to someone at the check-in desk. They'd be happy to talk to you about what you could do. But here's what, if you serve at Christmas and take this opportunity, you kind of get to experience different things. You get to train. You might have the opportunity to try something you've never tried to see if maybe there's a role or a fit here. And it's just one service, so there's no pressure. You just get to try something. It's also a way that you can help others stay healthy. There's a lot of things that have to happen, and there's some people that serve, you know, all 8 services at Christmas. Well, maybe you could consider stepping in for one service so that they could get a break. You know, one of the temptations of Christmas is to make it all about us. And I understand, like, that the season gets crazy, and there's office parties, and there's gifts, and there's all kinds of things that happen to make the holidays super hectic. But here's an opportunity for us to prioritize attitude over ability and to jump in and to serve. So I want to encourage everyone, come to one Christmas service and enjoy with your family, but also serve during one Christmas service so that others can enjoy with their family. Make Christmas, that's one simple way that we can make Christmas about others and not about us. It's a simple way that we can serve our community. So as we close this series, I hope that it's encouraged you to get out of your seats and serve somewhere here at LifePoint. I hope you'll choose to follow Jesus into the risk and into the excitement and into the joy of what it is to serve and to be part of what he's doing at our church and in our world. So let's close together in prayer. Father God, I thank you that you sent your son to show us how to do this, to show us what it looks like to love you with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, all our strength, and to love others as ourselves. And you call us into that. When we put our faith in you, you open up the doors for us to live a life that matters, to live a life that matters both here and for all eternity, that we have the opportunity to focus our life, our time, our talent, our gifts on things that matter, on people, loving others and loving you. Father, I pray that each one of us would find our heartbeats set on that and that we would pursue that we would get out of the bleachers into the game, determined to be game ready, to stay healthy, and to make sure that we're prioritizing loving you first. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.